Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
I was flipping channels last night watching a particular minister who came on, whatever program, and he's talking, he's holding his Bible, and he said, oh, great, he's going to preach the gospel. And the first thing he starts talking about is that there's no miracles anymore, and there's no healing. And he says, let me, it's like, wait a minute, I'm watching this, I'm alive, there's miracles.
Exactly.
But I'm like,
you just show up, right?
Oh, you just caught my attention. I'm thinking, oh my, are you standing on television telling everybody that God has no power anymore? Or what are you doing? You know, what? And then he goes, but we do lay hands on people and pray for them. It's like, listen, in church, we got to really, you know, we're looking at America reflect the church. We want to say, you know, get back to the Constitution. We are, you know, going back and figuring that out and trying to hash it out. And what does that mean? But more so than that, we're abiding with God and His Word and trying to get God's Word fully in our heart in a way that despite what any constitutions are on the face of the earth, that His Constitution is what will keep us. And Constitution, the word Constitution means what you're made up of. It's not a piece of paper. When you talk about the Constitution, it's what we're made up of is what we're talking about, the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about the Word of God, that's our Constitution. That's the Word of God, the living Word of God is what we're made up of. And so I want to encourage you that as you're looking at the nation losing its focus and writing off what it was written on, go back and start thinking about the church. I mean, the church is doing that. I mean, why would anybody say that God, why would anybody give anybody airtime that said that God has no power? And then I thought about all those poor captives, you know, that are listening to that every day, that it's so sad because there's no hope.
Yeah.
There's no hope. And then after he said that, he did say that, but we do pray for people.
Oh, thank you. Right. Pray for me.
Yeah, right. It's like,
anything going to happen when you pray?
Yeah,
right.
You know, my heart goes out to him. I can see, you know, some of the scripture that he was using. And sometimes this is what happens is you put your experience above the Word of God. Yeah, and that a man told me a long time ago, he said, don't ever put your experience, a man of faith, you know, the faith movement type. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't ever put your experience above God's truth. And so many people say, well, because I did this and this didn't happen, therefore God doesn't.
Right.
And the truth is, at the Gate Beautiful, Jesus passed that guy every single day and, you know, throughout his whole ministry and never prayed for that man. It wasn't until Peter came by, right, and said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. The question is, then somebody would say, well, you know, Jesus don't heal crippled people. Well, that was his experience, that he didn't have that encounter. But later on, he found out that there was another way that God was going to heal him.
That's right.
We are not the epicenter of God's brain, you know. Mm-hmm. It's God's mind, put it away, not brain. And we have a tendency to get a revelation of God, and all of a sudden we're just kind of bringing people around that instead of understanding that that's where you are in God right now, and that's cool, and it lines up with Scripture. But this is so important that when you're seeing a nation leave its constitution, it's a byproduct of the church leaving its constitution. We've left or leaving its constitution, and I believe that there's going to be a outpouring, there's going to be a great awakening, which will come because of difficult season, difficult time. And when you think about the 1970s, I was listening to Dr. Charles Simpson out of Charles Simpson's Ministries and Integrity Music and all these different things that he's a part of.
So much, right?
He can't even, he's just, you just, when you hear him talk, you're okay, I'm going to throw out everything I've ever said. Yeah, I'm going to go get, you know, linguistic degrees and practice my hermeneutics. No, anyway, he's just a great, it's his gift.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
But he's hearing the same thing that we're hearing, is that God looks for opportunities to show forth his mercy. So understand, you know, because men don't want to show somebody mercy, it doesn't mean God doesn't want to show them mercy. And so don't underestimate the power of God and God's willingness to make a way where all of a sudden that when it looked like it was hopeless and it was going nowhere, that God just does it. He just does it. You know what I'm saying? And if you put God in the box, you're going to be really embarrassed because he's not in your box. I mean, he may hang around it for a little bit and it'll look like you're like, wow, that's amazing. It's like, I guess his box was right. And then all of a sudden you find out God's bigger than that box. You're thinking, yeah. Oh, I guess he does heal. I remember a man told me once, and we're fixing to go to a break. I'm going to talk about the power of God today. You know, and we're also talking, of course, about the inaugurations taking place today in MLK Day. But he said, I don't believe in healings. I don't believe in any of that. And this particular friend of his shows up at a place, and he got a chill up his spine. And the power of God was moving in this place. And, and so he goes back and reports, says, listen, God confirmed to me that this is not God, because I got that feeling up my spine called the power of God. Mm-hmm. And so he just wrote off what God was doing. And the other particular man is talking to me. He says, well, I don't believe in miracles until his daughter was born without a forearm.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden I get a phone call. And he's saying, what? I mean, it's amazing. Oh. You know, you don't believe in prophets till you need a word.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you don't believe in love until you need love. You don't believe in miracles till you need them. And listen, if you just go ahead and believe now, maybe you won't be put in those situations where you have to be able to cry out like that. And we're talking about the power of God. We're watching right now. You can watch. You can go to the VFN Torch right now. Go to VFNTV.com. Click on the torch, and you can watch live the inauguration. It's sitting there for you on the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and you can watch. It's right there live. You can see it taking place as we speak. A historical moment. It's just major prophetic moment as well. But I'm thinking about the power of God. What is the one thing that Jesus said that was just really powerful? A lot of things Jesus said was really powerful. But he was talking to his disciples and different people that were following him, and the people that followed him didn't necessarily weren't part of the family. You know what I mean?
Right.
They liked what they were getting from him. But he says, you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you know, at least believe the evidence of who I am. If you don't believe what the words that I'm saying, that I'm the Son of God, believe the evidence, the power that I am the Son of God. And when you think about it, you're meditating on, you know, what Jesus did. And I encourage you that 2013, let it be a year you just stay in the Gospels. Just stay. I mean, obviously you read your whole Bible or whatever, but I mean, hang around in Jesus's words, because they're trying to deny him today. They're trying to pull him out of everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the church, only 19% are even reading the word. Let's hire you 19%. I'm talking to you. Let's go and read the Gospels, and let's hang on the red letter words, if you have red letters where Jesus' words are written in red, and read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to and meditate and just ask God to reveal to you. And it has to come by revelation. This can't be information where, you know, I read it and I see, and intellectually I'm going to accomplish this in my life. It's actually revelation being revealed to you. And so I encourage you to just begin to meditate. We call that abiding. Abide in Matthew, abide in Mark and Luke and John.
And spend time in his word and just go ahead and just read it. But right. don't you know, someone just said, you know, don't read through the book. Allow the book to go through you. Don't read through the Bible. Let the Bible go through you. Spend time and meditate and hear what God is saying.
Right. And in abiding, you can go to iabide.org to get you an abiding plan. But I'm telling you, you'll be so amazed at how when you read some of God's word and you stop and you pray about his word, and then you ask God to reveal that word you just read to reveal it to you, what you just read, and be open to what he's revealing to you, not locked in your head, not already fixated in what you think is being said there. And because the word is living, active, and is sharper than a double-edged sword, that it penetrates even the dividing of thought and intent and the attitudes of the heart. And understand, it'll mess your, it'll rock your world up.
It sure will.
It'll do surgery on your brain.
And your heart.
And so, begin to meditate on it. And understand this, that even Jesus, this is the Son of God. He says, listen, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the evidence. And you should be. You should be asking the question, where's the evidence? If this God that you're saying is God of the Bible that's with you, then where's the evidence that he's with you? What's the evidence? And it's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that. If you're in a place that you don't have any evidence around you, ask God, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I want the evidence of the kingdom in my life. Moses said, you know, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go, because the only thing that will differentiate us from everybody else in the world is your presence being with us.
Right.
And so don't be okay going on without God's presence. It's okay to stop and say, wait a minute, you know, you told us to imitate you and to as you were sent, we're being sent into the world, and you were sent with power, the power of God. And when you think about it, when Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is going throughout all of Galilee. He's teaching in these different areas, and he's teaching in synagogues, and he's preaching the good news, which is this, that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, that you are caught in sin that you cannot remedy. But if you go to God and confess this reality that you need a Savior, and you cry out to God and say, God, I need you. I want you. I am a sinner. I have fallen short. You know, would you forgive me? Would you accept me in the family of God? And he will. That's good news. And he forgives our sin as far as the east is from the west. And then he went around healing every disease and sickness amongst the people that he was ministering to, the people group. That was just beautiful. Mm. Yeah, that's Jesus's ministry. And he would say, if you go back and we'll talk about it in a little bit probably, is that if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the evidence that proves what I'm saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you're meditating on that and you're going, wow, that's just awesome, God. And I totally, that's so cool. And then John chapter 17, 18, Jesus says, as he's talking to the Father and he's praying, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So just like Father God sent Jesus into the world to do what I just talked about and all the things that he did, that's how we got sent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're sent to do that. So we're not sent. Listen, this is our purpose. This is our destiny. This is what we're sent to do as believers. We were sent by Jesus Christ, like Father God sent Jesus himself, to go into the world and do the very same things that Jesus did. As a matter of fact, he says it in Mark 16, 15 through 20. He talks about it. I mean, he's just about to be taken away. And he's finished up what he came to do on earth, Jesus has. He's about to be starting, his feet going to come off the ground. He's going to get higher and higher and higher. His body's going up and he gets in the clouds, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys appear, like, what you doing looking up here? He already told you what to do, right? The same That's Jesus right. you see now going up is going to come back in the same way. And so this is what Jesus said. His last words were the very same thing we're talking about. He said, in Mark 16, 15 through 20, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So the same way he was preaching in this community is what we're supposed to be doing. Listen, if you're a believer, you're a preacher. Preach. You know, tell people. You know, just tell them. Open your mouth and let the words come out of your mouth. And then he says this. He says this right after. He says, and all these signs will accompany those who believe.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, my question was regarding this sanctity of life and abortion and partial birth abortion. What is a physician's stand when he performs abortions or she performs abortions, considering the fact that they took the Hippocratic Oath, which says they will do everything in their power to withhold and sanctify life?
You know, the fascinating aspect about that is I watched the testimony and participated at the trial in New York, and in that particular case, they don't really care about what their oath said. They believe that there's an unfettered, non-restricted right to abortion at any time during a pregnancy from the first month to the ninth. And they see no distinction between even the child who's outside of the womb and that abortion taking place versus one that's in the first month. They look at it all the same.
Visit us at aclj.org.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting, and we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, this is pretty cool. Wait a minute. So just like all this power was with Jesus and Father sent him, now Jesus has sent us like Jesus was sent by the Father, and we're to preach the same gospel that Jesus preached, but the same power that was with Jesus is supposed to be with us. Because he says, listen, when you go preach the gospel, and that's the key, so many people are preaching everything but the gospel, you know, but preach the gospel, that's the power. He says, all these signs will follow you, follow those who believe. So this is very important, what I'm talking about, and I'm meditating on myself, is begin to just pray, say, God, reveal the kind of faith, the belief that I need in my life to know that this is the only way. This is the only way to advance your kingdom. This is the only way to separate all the mere talkers from the true walkers, the ones who walk with the Lord. And he says, in my name, this is not somebody who says, yeah, I prayed a prayer. Now we're talking about believers. Our believers here, right? Mm-hmm. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. So that's what Jesus did, right?
Right.
And Jesus walked in a room, and all of a sudden they go, you know, Son of God, what do you have to do with me? Oh, my goodness, you come here before my time. It's like, shh, be quiet. They don't know this yet. I've been trying to tell them, but they don't know yet. I had to tell them about the evidence, but you already know. You're a demon, and you believe, right? Demons believe and tremble. And he told them to hush up, and he threw them out and all that kind of stuff and cast them out. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. A lot of things are being diagnosed, especially like these, I mean, everywhere. And you see people, they're trying to fix it some way other than spiritually. And the person is just bound. You're wrestling with spiritual wickedness. You're not wrestling with, you know, generational ailments. You're wrestling with generational curses, you know, quite often. Not everybody that sits got a demon. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you just look at the Sandy Hill Elementary School shooter, and you just look at the picture. And if you know anything about demon possession, I mean, he's demon possessed.
Yeah, Sandy Hook.
I mean, Sandy Hook. Yeah, Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, or you look at the shooter in Colorado. You just, I mean, it's like, do we have any discernment at all? Are we really going to blame the video game, or are we going to blame the church of us not going out and preaching the gospel and driving out demons?
That's right.
You know, because they're obviously inhabiting people. And he says, in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poisons, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I mean, you think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why it's good news. That's why the people like to see the church coming, if we're moving in power. I mean, it's good news for you to show up if I'm sick, because you're going to pray for me, and I'm going to be healed. Understand that just from experience alone, everybody that Jesus raised from the dead died. You know, and how they died, probably various ways. But the whole thing, it was the demonstration of power that proved that what he said he was, who he said he was who he said he was. He was that person. And so it's not about, hey, you know, that, you know, because you got sick, then you're not walking with God. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. Paul was talking about, I hope that my physical ailment does not get in the way of, I hope it don't get in the way of the gospel that I'm preaching. The power of God was moving in Paul's life and ministry, and people were getting healed and delivered and those type of things. But at the same time, I mean, he had physical struggles as he's talking about those different things, thorn in his flesh. And he's talking about he had to have somebody else write it for him. And I think about Smith Wigglesworth, when here he is preaching healing. He's preaching the gospel. These guys were so good. They preached the gospel forever, how long it took. And then they would pray for healing. And he would have to, he'd pause. He'd step his message, step out and go back to the hotel room. He would pass a kidney stone. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, well, this is canceled meeting. He would come back to the meeting, finish preaching, lay hands on sick, and they'd be recovered. And somebody says, well, how could that be? Well, the whole thing, it's not obviously this body that we're in is not going to live forever. You don't know how long you have. You don't know how but the power of God, when you see the demonstration of the power of God, that's why you can see people who get healed, but they immediately begin to doubt their healing. They begin to, you know, God healed them, and they think, sometimes they think, I'm saved because I got healed. Or sometimes they think I'm right because I got healed, but it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And God was drawing them to himself. He heals them. He demonstrates his power. But then they don't even talk about him. They just walk away from him and say, I can't tell anybody about this Jesus. And he goes, if you're ashamed of me before men. And next thing you know, it just comes back on them. But you just don't know how. I mean, life ends on this earth, and it begins in eternity, whether with God or not with God. And so the power of God, it's the power of God demonstrated that he said is evidence that I am who I said I am. And he says, in my name, and the power is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's so important that when he sent his disciples out, when he talks about sending his disciples out, he sends them out and they went out preaching everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, confirming exactly the gospel that they were preaching right there. Think about it. He tells them, even in Luke 10:3-8, he says, go, I'm sending you out. So he told the ones, and he says, and when you enter a town and are welcomed, which means you can't force a miracle on someone. I guess Paul did force an act of power on Eli. Be blind. You know, be blind. And he's like, okay, I need some help. I got a cane. And but in regards to, if you're not welcomed, it takes faith. People's desire to believe that God's going to move. It's your faith in you, inside of you, right, which is a whole nother aspect of it. But when you enter a town and are welcome, heal the sick who are there. Heal them. And tell them the kingdom of God is near. So you're simultaneously the power and the message, the power and the message, the power and the message, the power and the message. And John 14:11, he says, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. And let me tell you what's going to happen in this powerful outpouring that's going to take place. It's going to be a power outpouring, the power of God just moving powerfully. I know that hopefully we're going to have a chance to either talk in the first hour or the second hour of some things the Lord has shown John and myself about the outpourings and the glory. Show me the glory and all the different things. But God's going to pour his power out in a powerful way. And when the power of God gets poured out, understand this, that the mere talkers are terrified because it separated them instantly. The second the power of God moves, because the kingdom of God is not about mere talk, mm-hmm. but about the power of God, and it totally, they have to come and attack it, because it's like, well, if that's true and I don't have any evidence, then they come after that. And I'm going to talk about that. God literally showed me what's going to be, what has always taken place, but what will be taking place simultaneously while the power of God is moving. But listen, this is a normal conversation that is supposed to happen with us in the kingdom of God. And he said, listen, this is even Jesus saying this. He said, listen, if you don't believe what I'm telling you about the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, he said, at least believe the evidence. You know what? Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're going to have to believe this. Because that's where God's going to manifest himself. And it's Christ in you. You're not praying him down. You're believing him out.
There you go.
You're believing him out. And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone, listen to this, anyone, and we're going to break this, but he says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. When you think about it, I was just talking about what Jesus had said and how his ministry is and how we're supposed to go. He says, listen, he said, you know, he's talking to him in John 14:11. He said, listen, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. Understand this. Part of understanding about the kingdom of God is being revealed to you, but also that Christ is in you. Power of God is in you. Mm-hmm. And the hope of glory for the world is for the church to realize that you are glory containers, that you are the kingdom of God's containers. And then he says this, and then he says, listen, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. So when you look at Jesus's ministry, and so many people go, whoa, you know, yeah, and he is whoa, and he is yeah, but understand, he set the example for us to walk in his shoes, to imitate him, and to please the Father, because his life gave glory to the Father. Understand that our life is supposed to give glory to Jesus, to bring glory to the Father. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's how it works when we obey the words of in Jesus' name. And he says, not only that can we do what he did, but he says we can even do greater things than he did. Even greater things. Mm. You know, Lord, forgive our mindsets. Forgive our limitations. Forgive us for putting you in our boxes.
Yeah.
There is hope in the power of God. He says, because, and this is the reason why we can do that. He says, because I'm going to the Father. And think about it. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, looking at us and going, hello, at least believe the evidence. You know, if you're going to believe that I'm in you and the Father's in me and we're one. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. And he says, and I will do, when I'm sitting by the Father, he's saying, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. Listen, this is not about, and I've seen people who say, you know, I want a healing ministry, and what they really want is to be worshiped. You know,
right.
They're looking, versus that you want people to know God. You want them to know God. You know, we've prayed for people, we've seen people healed, but we want to see more people healed. We want to see just an explosion in cities and towns and mass outpouring, a third great awakening where everybody understands the revelations that we're talking about now. And in this, he says, listen, he says, you may ask anything in my name and I will do it. What is that? When he says you may, that's permission. Mm-hmm. Mm. Not only have you been commissioned, but you've been given permission by the Son of God himself. You may. Mother, may I. Father, may I. Jesus, may I. He says, you may.
Yes, you may.
You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. He's just looking for, this brings glory to God when we do this. He tells us in John 15:8, he says, and 16, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Understand that when we ask God for because of our faith in Jesus Christ to heal somebody, this brings glory to God through Jesus Christ and makes his kingdom known and shows that person and whoever else observed that we're disciples of Jesus, that we're followers of Jesus. That's what separates us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he says, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. In my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him. Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
Get on the right side. And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. Wash me. Right.
They and think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him, that if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, "Organize me."
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And he goes on in 16, he says, listen, you didn't even choose me. You didn't even choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go. So not only do you have a commission, not only do you have permission, but you have a commandment. Where he's saying, listen, hello, quit thinking too much. You didn't know nothing. You were stuck in your sin, and then I saved you. Remember that? You were laying in your pool of blood. I walked by, and I looked at you, and I said, live! And all of a sudden, he just forgave our sins, and he cleansed us, and he brought us into himself. And now he's saying, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you. And what does that mean? When you think about it, that means that God had something in mind. He had something in mind. He appointed you to go and bear fruit, showing yourselves to be his disciples, bear fruit and lasting fruit. So the power of God is what is made manifest when we believe the gospel in which we preach, that we're followers of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, that the name of Jesus is so powerful that people on the last days are going to be thinking that they were saved, and they're going to be talking to Jesus. And Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 7, they're going to say to me, Jesus said, they're going to say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not use your name and these things happen? Mm. Yeah, right? He's going to say, right? I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm now.
Yeah.
Correct me.
Not.
Challenge it if it's not in the Bible. And he's going to say, but I never knew you. That's how powerful, how much power is in the kingdom. That some person who doesn't even know them, that's very religious, even the sons of Sceva, it worked for a while. And understand that it can work. So it's the power of God is just something that just naturally comes with those who are Jesus' disciples. They follow us. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. We're not supposed to jump in our cars and planes and trains and try to find a sign. We're supposed to be a sign. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to preach the gospel. Go, and the thing is, going somewhere, quit talking to Nazareth. Listen, how many times are you going to talk to people that ain't going to listen to you? You know, Jesus preached and then he moved on.
Yeah.
And some people is like, if you talk to me one more time about your Nazareth, come on.
How many more ways do I have to tell you no?
How
right
clearly?
Now? You know what I'm saying?
And they go, oh, but I love him. Oh, but listen, Jesus was nailed to a cross for Nazareth. So can't say that we love somebody more than somebody else. Everybody say move on. Move on. At least shut up. Move on. There's other people God loves, you know, and God even loves those folks more than you do. And remember that because he first loved you, that you can love them. But if you move on, no telling what's going to happen. What you're going to find out is that your Nazareth may catch up with you. Of course, the Nazareth, those people that just say, I knew you and you was, it's like, and they go, aren't you a carpenter's son? And don't you know? They got all these horizontal grids and how they define you, but they don't know you met Jesus.
Right.
That's right.
They don't know that you're not the same one anymore. The old things are passed away and all things have become new. They're looking at you on the outside, but don't realize that Jesus is on your inside. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you preach to them, but they're so familiar with who you are, who you were, that God will probably send somebody else to them, or at a distance, they'll watch your life to the point where they're going like, you know what? That cannot be Pat. In. There's no way that could be Pat. This has got to be God, right?
That's right.
This has got to be God. And so I'm talking about the power of God. I mean, this is what we're supposed to do. And in Colossians 1:25-27, it says, to them God has chosen to make known. Let me go back. Verse 25 is, he says, I have become the church's servant. The body of Christ's servant. You know, we love the church. We love the church. We're just so excited anybody, any believer anywhere,
begins to abide with God. I mean, it's an exciting thing when we see you guys requesting those abiding plans and begin to, no matter where you're at, because we know you and God, woo, powerful. And he says, you know, I've become a servant of the church by the commission of God that God gave me to present to you the word of God in the fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And understand this, this has been a secret that nobody knew about until Jesus. And I'm about to tell you what that is, and we're talking about it right here. Here it is. He says, to them, and this is the secret that was revealed through Jesus, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, you're wanting to see the glory manifested in your life. You're wanting to see people healed and delivered. You know, first, make sure you're a believer. Become a believer. Right. Become his disciple. Get discipled. Learn to abide with him and talk. Understand that it's not about signs, wonders, and miracles, but it's about your relationship with God. And out of overflow of your relationship with him, other people are going to be touched. You'll be exhausted trying to do something out of an empty jar. It's not going to work.
Right.
And if it does work, it'll work for them and not you, because they had faith in them. My faith in you does not prove, my faith in God, my faith in me that is in God does not mean you have faith in God. That's why you can have somebody stand on a stage and begin to speak things out and you know, and build people's faith, and they release the kingdom from inside of them. Mm-hmm. And that's why you can get believers together anywhere, I don't care what we're in, that the power of God begins to move. You can build their faith and encourage them and worship and words of affirmation and things that God says over us. And so all of a sudden they just get excited, and that's right. And they go, oh yeah. And then next thing you know, God's power is just released in that stadium or in that building or in that coffee shop, because the glory of God is inside of us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so we have to get in tune with the reality is we're Christ carriers. We're carrying Christ with us. That's why he says, go to where I'm sending you, where I'm about to go. And I want you to heal the sick, signs, wonders, cast out demons and all. And he says, and then tell them the kingdom of God is near. The reason why the kingdom of God is near is because the kingdom of God is in you. You're a kingdom container. Mm-hmm. You're a powerhouse. You are a powerful force. Christ in you is a powerful force to be reckoned with. But understand, and we're going to be talking about in the extra hour, that it is about embracing weakness and humility. And it just, we're going to keep on talking about this. I hope it's going to be encouraging. We're talking about the power of God today. We got so much more. I got so much more I want to be able to share with you. We're also going to share with you some dreams and some things that God has shown us, you know, what is about to come. Jesus was ministering to in a particular town like the Galilee, for example. He was preaching and he was teaching, and all the good news of the kingdom of God, which means the king's dominion, and he was healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. I mean, that word "every" is amazing. It's like, woo, that's awesome. But he was addressing disease and sickness by a manifestation of power in the kingdom. And then we found out, it says, listen, Jesus tells us that as he's talking to the Father, he says, listen, as I was sent, I'm sending them. The way you sent me, Father, I'm going to send them out. So in other words, we're supposed to imitate him. Then he tells us, listen, I want you to go. His last words were, get out there and go. Go into all the world and do what I did. He says, listen, and all these signs will follow you just like they follow me, right? He says, all these signs will accompany you who believe. In my name, you will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. They won't hurt them. They'll drink deadly poison. It won't do any harm to them. And they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And you think about it. He tells, even in Luke 10, when he's sending out the 72, he says, listen, go. I'm sending you out. And it's so difficult, because we got a cave mentality with the church. It's like, really? Is this like lions, tigers, and bears out there, right? You right?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I am sending you out amongst wolves, but, you know, be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. Like, yeah, but we're not living for this life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. You say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin, because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things, is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order. And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
And
I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty, and Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one
worked
for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, I'm going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our Southern draw. That we got to, you know, really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus
on it. He does really good.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Instead of a meal, mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. Right. He's like, oh, I didn't
are
know
you
about
calling
that
me
one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill? Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And let me tell you what that was. Was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this. Cheat? Nope. Don't do.
I eat.
Yeah. That was the final thing. I eat. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Sophisticated. Oh my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and I
doubt.
Have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so then he says, listen, and when you enter a town, Jesus is telling his disciples, and we are, if you say you're his disciple, this is what he's telling you. And when you go into a town and are welcomed, keyword, welcome, mm-hmm. then you're supposed to heal the sick. I want you to heal the sick. And I want you to, when the power of God manifests and a demon gets cast out or the power of God manifests and whatever the needs met, you let them know the kingdom of God is near. The reason why you tell them it's near, because the kingdom of God is in you. You are a kingdom container. We're kind of reviewing that first hour. And understanding that, I said, wow, then the only way the kingdom's going to spread is if I get off this whatever I'm sitting on, this religious thing I'm sitting on, mm-hmm. and I get out into the world.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to spread, because we are kingdom containers. The kingdom of God is in us. We found out that the hope of glory for the world is inside of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So getting in tune with the reality that you are carrying Christ around with you. You are carrying the anointing. You know, Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus's last name.
Right.
That word means anointed. That Jesus is the anointing. And so we say the anointing in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the anointing in you. You've been looking everywhere else for everybody to solve everything, and you, it, Christ in you is the key for the manifestation of the glory of God in that particular situation. And he says, when we do this, when we do what we're talking about, and of course I'm just briefing over some of the things, that this brings glory to the Father.
Yeah.
And it shows everybody that we're his. It shows everybody that we're his disciple. And I mean, some people are like, you start witnessing to them. They go, oh, I'm already a believer. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. Probably a Christian. And you're thinking, oh, well, I'm sorry. I was just trying. No, sorry. You know, it's like, you're like, I was with you for a while. And I didn't realize you knew Jesus or not. They said and then Jesus says, listen, if you don't believe what I'm saying, that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, at least believe the evidence of this. Of what I'm saying is true. So the miracles or the evidence that's happening there. And you think about this, that you know, some Christians, if they got arrested and for being a Christian, mm-hmm. and you had to present, you had to get a jury trial, you got the prosecutor, the defense attorney, and the judge, and all of a sudden they come in, the judge says, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And they look around, they say, well, you know, they don't read their Bible. They don't follow what he says, and there is no manifestation of power in their life, and they don't even know where their Bible is, much less what's in it.
Right.
And the judge will say, well, if it don't fit, you must acquit. He's going to say, listen, this guy ain't a Christian. You have to be loosed. You actually have to get that person, free them, because they got arrested for being, that was a charge, you're a Christian, and have to release them for a lack of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
Wow.
Isn't that true? Is that not true?
It's so true.
You can imagine talking to God, I got arrested for being a Christian. They let me go because there was no evidence.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you explain that one? Yeah. Get evidence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Remember Dr. Price's evidence. Evidence. Fred Price, the Faith Dome. Evidence. Evidence. Anyway, so John 7:38, you know, whoever believes in me, Jesus says, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. It's, you gotta say, it's all, it's the, you're a king. Listen, you are thinking about God from the shoulder up and the neck up, and God's looking at you from the neck down. That's what's going on. You're, you know, quite often, quite a few people are relating to God from the neck up, but listen, God's relating to you from the neck down. What's in your heart? It's true. It's really true. While I think, well, it doesn't matter what, because it's the neck down, he's actually responding to you.
Right.
And what's it, what's in your heart? And there's a lot of things that, but we're not going to go that direction. But understand, it's from within. It's from within. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says, all authority. This is his last words. He's saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus said this. Then he says, therefore, go. Again, go. We're not a come, ye church. Can you come? Can you come over here? Can you come over here? Why don't you just go where they're at? Why don't you just go? He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of time. Listen, Christ is in you. He's with you. When you go out and you feel all alone, you're never alone because Christ is in you. Mm-hmm. And this Christ in you is the hope of glory, the manifestation and the advancement of the kingdom of God. Listen, preach Jesus and him crucified. Understand that it's the power of God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. Buy the, we're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.